The Lawrence Watson Show is brought to you
No.
by... Oh, that's right.
Change the name, damn it.
Hey, Unpaid Programming Podcast fans. Ever come across a song with millions of streams, but you aren't too familiar with the artist? Well, I, Brendan Ginetti, am offering you a chance to learn more about the up-and-coming recording artists behind these tracks in my interview-style podcast, Music You're Missing. Listen along as these rising stars dissect their music, discuss their artistry, and share their aspirations. Featuring interviews with The Brummies.
I don't care where we go, just come get me up and we'll drive.
Tyler Cordy.
The antidote for me, she's the antidote. She's the antidote for me, she's the antidote.
Chloe Gendro. Okay, Will. And many more. And don't forget to follow my Spotify playlist of the same name to listen to music from all artists featured on the show. We're almost at 800 followers. So head on over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, or Google Play to listen to Music You're Missing. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us 5 stars. Thanks for listening.
So I'm doing another sound check.
Lawrence, I understand you had your own podcast show.
You know, that's right, I did. But, you know, I got kind of lonely. So, like, I asked my friends to join me, and one of them was kind of pretentious, so we had to fire him. And we got another friend to join us, and he was even better at it.
Contestant number 2, how big is your cock?
Hello. Good evening, and welcome to the Unpaid Programming Podcast. I'm Jeff, joined by my friends Tim, John, and Lawrence. It used to be Lawrence's show, but now it's mine. Actually, it's still Lawrence's show. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you, Jeff, for throwing it over to me like that. I appreciate your professionalism. So
professional.
I like to put the burden on you.
I know.
You know, this is really something because, the last podcast, which no one's going to look and see if this information is accurate, we had over 10,000 listeners. So by starting this new
podcast... Donnie, can you check that, please?
We're really going out on a limb here.
Rounding up for inflation, John. You know how it works.
Oh, that's right.
You know, the Australian dollar, it's worth a lot more.
The Australian dollar is worth like 4 American cents. Canadian dollar is like 10 cents.
Yeah.
So go USA. Your economy stink, and ours is great.
Yeah, we're doing tremendously well over here. Just ask the guy in charge.
Yeah. So, oh, shit. We're off already. So we had a little bit of trouble getting this show started.
Yeah, I think we should be honest with our listeners, especially with our new listeners. We want to get off on the right foot.
This podcast is about honesty here, people.
Listen, it happens to a lot of podcasts.
That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
We couldn't get it up, guys.
I mean, to be ashamed about.
Hey, it you know, we're experienced now, and sometimes with experience comes a little difficulty.
Look, we were a little tired.
We had a couple beers.
Resting on our laurels a bit, I think.
Yeah.
Laurels? We haven't even come close to getting anything resembling laurels.
Don't even have a singular laurel yet.
Not even one laurel.
You mean to tell me we're not the number one podcast in Azerbaijan?
Where are the number one podcast that records in this house?
Right now, this podcast...
The Ronnie and Donnie show are in here at 9, so...
Right now, I feel like this podcast is kind of like a half-chub, and our listeners... Are like, are you sure this is, it's gonna, it, yes, it is. You're really sexy, listener.
We're trying to get a full rod because it's really hard to jam half one in there.
By God, we've only got 3 inches, but we're going to use all of them, damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. When in doubt, just laugh at everything that we do wrong.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Most things.
Often.
Most things.
All of them.
Maybe it's like, you know, a lot of guys, when you can't get it up, it's a lot about like nervousness, expectations. This is the first episode of the new show.
That's true.
It is. So yeah. Maybe
true. I think
we're trying
nervous.
Too hard.
I think we all have a little bit of butterflies, right, guys?
My tummy is
coming off that right. Our hugely successful last podcast. It's
that got almost 200 listens.
200.
Yeah.
I thought it was 10,000. Oh. Wait, the numbers came back. We were off by a couple zeros.
Well, either way, whatever it is, 4,000 people.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. This because... is a new show, and we're going to get at least probably, 20, 30 listens?
Maybe.
You'd think so.
With luck. Our loyal fan base.
So as the new host, I'm going to go ahead and begin by prompting John, who yesterday...
Yeah.
John used to play in a band.
My horrible band.
John's horrible band.
That was the name of the band, actually.
And that band kind of disappeared and then came back for a while as a different band without John.
Yes. Words were said, feelings were hurt.
And,
so John was the Pete Best of that band.
But last night...
You're assuming they made it big.
But last night, John performed again with his horrible band.
Yes. And it was the first time in 2 years. They give me a call about every 2 years to come join them. And I think the reason why is whenever they have the gigs where they need to fill out an extra hour, I just bring him in. He'll flop around for a while. And so I wasn't quite sure how this was going to go. They told me, like, you get to do 5 songs. I'm like, oh, did I even leave the house for that? You know, but... So I only told, like, so many people about it. Like, Jeff, and I told you guys, and I told cousins and shit. I was at rehearsal on Wednesday. I get a call from my mom, who said...
I didn't expect you to go to this. I thought you were just going to talk about the show.
The show is not interesting.
Neither is the part about mom and dad showing up. That's also
not
interesting.
That's not what I was getting at, though.
Okay. All right.
It's not one of our podcasts without one of John's boring stories. So
all right. All right. Go ahead.
Anyhow, she gives me the, why didn't you tell us? Because like, she got wind of it. Somebody blabbed. But so I had to explain, like, why I didn't tell him and all that shit. So day of the show comes. They brought 20 goddamn people with them.
Oh, I didn't hear this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. All 3 uncles.
All of them.
Including the one that doesn't do anything. Bowling people. Yeah. And friends of uncles. Mm-hmm.
Bowling people is people.
This sounds
that
like
my,
a convention.
My parents are, well, our parents, John and I, were actually brothers. Our parents used to bowl with a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's important to note that. Well, and
they're still friends with
them. Yeah, the context is like, you know, 40-year friends that we thought we were related to growing up because we saw them so much. So, yeah, I played, and it went well. I think the real star of the evening was the weather. I did it. It was fun. There's going to be footage of it that exists somewhere, and then I'll decide how it went. But Jeff fucking missed it.
I missed it.
My undamn brother missed it.
I couldn't be there.
He didn't have anything important going on, did he?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Lawrence.
You know, I was telling the story expecting to be shit on, and all you guys are silent.
I was trying to shit on you.
Okay, I almost said something, but no, I couldn't bring myself to say what I was going to say, so...
Well, anyway, so yesterday, the reason that I couldn't attend John's horrible band show is because it was my wife and I's 5th wedding anniversary.
Yay!
Which,
yay!
Shut up. We did not really do like we were like, oh, we got to plan something and do something, and then we kind of really just didn't. But what we did do, we went down to the Strip District in the morning where there is a cafe where you can pay money to hang out with cats.
Oh.
You have a cat at home.
I know.
That's your baby boy.
But we don't have 12 cats at home. We went and played with the cats and had some food.
Working in EMS, I can get you to a place that has...
I'm sure you can get me a lot of places that have lots of cats. Even more than that.
So you guys know some places.
For example, the place where Jeff's cat came from,
all the cats are alive here.
there aren't like dead ones behind dressers or anything like that.
The place probably still smells like urine, though, I imagine.
Listen.
It doesn't smell good.
I know so many people that are sitting on a gold mine right now.
So all you got to do is you make them some grilled cheese. Yeah. So, oh, that's a good business plan. All right. So whenever next time you wheel one of these old bags out, we move in and we set up
one of these old bags out.
So we set up in there. We make like some food in the kitchen. You know, we'll just do some stupid shit like grilled cheese and some soup or something. No. You leave the cats there and then you charge people to come in and eat our shitty food with all these cats.
So you paid extra to eat shitty food in a place that smells?
No.
That's what he and his wife did.
No. I'm talking about Tim and I. We're going to start our own business.
I'm talking
here.
About your anniversary.
Oh,
date,
so
though.
What we actually did? Yeah. No, it didn't. It only smelled for a second when we first walked in there. It didn't really smell that bad.
You're like, ooh, cats.
Just the initial.
It's the initial.
The initial aroma
of 12 cats. Yeah. So we did that, and it was fun. You know, there were all these cats. I found a secret cat that was hidden from the rest of the cats.
A secret cat?
Yeah, there was one cat that was just like hanging out. It was a real loner. It didn't like me, I don't think. None of them were like mean or anything. One of them did bite me for like a second, but it was fine. But that was, you know, we did that for like an hour. And then, but that was in
an
the strip
hour?
District in Pittsburgh. Yeah, you paid for the hour. But
like,
what you're paying is you're just paying for like the food for the cats and stuff like that.
No, you can go to PetSmart and do that for free.
Yeah, but the cats are in cages. These cats are
no,
just
they
around.
Let them out sometimes. The one
in
the waterfront,
they
let them
do that.
Yeah, you go down there, they just let them out, and you're like, yeah.
But I think what this place is what they do is they like foster the cats from like a shelter.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Then you can buy the
because that's the thing is you can adopt cats from there. Like they've helped, you know. You can hang out with the cats, and if you want to adopt a cat, you adopt a cat.
Well, like gross cats,
we were interested in adopting another cat, so.
No, no.
We're just playing with cats. But anyway, that's the first thing we did. Second thing we did, we bummed around the strip district for a while. Went to a couple, you know, weird places. Went to Woolies. I'd never been to Woolies before.
Never been to Woolies before.
Whoa.
Not until yesterday.
Wow.
It's massive.
It is. It's awesome.
Did you see the giant,
cool
like, 80-pound lobster tails?
I didn't see. I saw some, like, live lobsters and shit like that. But
have you been to Luke Woolies restaurant before?
Did we eat there? No, we did not.
No.
So, no.
Jeff.
Yeah.
This is slightly off topic. But okay. One time, you told this story about this dude that tried to scam you in the strip district.
What?
Yeah, you said, like, you were in the strip district, and this guy came up to you and said, like, oh, man, I'm trying to get to Market Square. Do you know where the bus is at? I need a few dollars.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You told that story, and then, like, maybe, like, a week later, I was walking in the strip district, and that dude came up to me, and he told me the same exact story.
But that could be any number of dudes telling that same exact story.
No, it was the exact same story. He's like, yeah, man, I just took a bus from New York. I'm trying to meet my girlfriend in the market district. No, Bakery Square. Do you know where that's at? Can I get a few dollars?
And this happened to me so many times.
But it was
the
same exact story.
But the same exact story, though.
You know, the one thing is that I noticed with the bums is that they always have a very specific story with a very specific number of like amount of money they're asking for. Like for example, I have to get the bus from here to
475
Washington, PA.
Yeah. I heard Turtle Creek. I need money for the bus to Turtle Creek.
And that guy is already suspicious because he didn't call it Turtle Creek.
And also, why would anyone ever go back to Turtle Creek?
I heard one time I tried to ignore the guy that I knew was going to ask for money. It was on the south side, and it was at night. And I'm not like scared on the south side because there's just like too many people around for anybody to do anything stupid. So there's a corner where a lot of people are hanging out, and one guy gets up, and I actually saw like a bunch of people thought like don't do it, leave him alone. But he comes up and he like smiles at me and puts his hand out. He's like, hey man, and I said, how's it going? And I just keep walking.
Yeah.
And he's like almost like following me with his hand out, like, hey man. And I'm like, okay, how you doing? And I just keep walking. And he's like, he stops. And I just kept walking. And then I hear, well, fuck you.
Maybe it was a gesture of brotherhood.
No, it was
and
not.
And you totally turned
it was
him
someone
down.
Who was going to ask me for money. Because all his friends were telling him not to ask me for money.
Yeah. But why do you?
Why couldn't he ask his motherfucking friends for money?
Maybe he was going to rob you.
Or that. I don't know what he was going to do. I just wanted to get away from him because I knew it was going to be something. No one just goes up to you on the street just to say hello.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Except Christians.
Big dick hurts. How you doing?
He didn't look like a Jehovah Witness or anything like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to what I did on.
They'd be wasting their time on the south side.
That was so important that you had to miss my, you know, every 2 year appearance.
Well, it wasn't my idea. I wanted to go to your show.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway,
what a better way to celebrate a marriage
than going to see John sing. And his shitty band?
Yeah.
Okay, but the whole
it's no wonder
of this,
she. Right,
so we would have extended a dedication and everything.
And then she would have divorced Jeff.
This next
Jeff.
One goes out to Jeff. That's my brother out there. He's celebrating his 5 year anniversary.
The one person in the crowd to clap. All two people that did show up, by the way, got a great show, I'm sure.
You should have said, like, celebrating their 55th anniversary. And I'm like,
Well, I'll tell you what, I actually spent a good portion of time getting lubed up beforehand because I didn't have to go on till 8, and the rest of them had to start at 6. And so I was a bit animated, that's for sure. Not like the old days, though. Yeah,
this better be good because I was trying to finish my story.
I'm done. Go ahead.
So it's not good.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. Anyway, so we bummed around the strip just went to some places, had a beer, whatever. It doesn't matter. We leave, go home because I had some shit to put away.
I'll say.
She wanted to go play miniature golf. I beat her, of course. So since we were in the area, we didn't really figure we would do anything super fancy for dinner because we had the whole day, you know. Yeah. So we went to Doritos in South Park.
Yeah.
For dinner.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what we were talking about, but for some reason that she thought that buffalo were extinct. So I got a trip for you. What did I do? Just down the road, I could show you a goddamn buffalo. And sure enough, I took her to see the buffalo.
I took her to South Park
to see the buffalo.
For our listeners, South Park does have some buffaloes.
Yes.
Now, what you should have done is tell her.
They were delicious, I assume, right? Yeah.
Tell her those are the last buffalo in the world.
They're not extinct, but
there's only 10 left, and they're just in South Park.
Yeah, for our listeners who aren't around the Pittsburgh area, it is well known in these parts that in South Park, it's in the South Hills of Pittsburgh, basically. You can go and see buffalo. They have them in a fenced-in area.
Oh, interesting story. In the late 90s, South Park shot off fireworks for the 4th of July. Independence Day in America for our international listeners.
They know.
That is the day that George Washington wrote the Declaration of Independence and wiped his ass with the Magna Carta.
Hey, they're shooting off fireworks and it spooked the buffalo. And they busted out.
Stampede!
they ran down Corrigan Drive. Now,
really? The buffalo got out?
Oh, yeah, they got out. Yeah.
Oh, I wish I'd seen
man,
that.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Now,
they don't do that anymore.
I got a biology question. Buffalo, were they ever actually native to Pennsylvania, though?
They were native to, like, the entire country. They were all over the place.
Yeah, they were everywhere.
But the Indians killed them all.
Yeah, it was them. It was all their fault.
Definitely not us.
It was also a lot of white folks just like shooting shit.
They did too, but the Indians killed a whole bunch of them.
Because buffalo were easy to shoot because they would just stand there.
Yeah, they wouldn't do anything, so they would kill them. They'd shoot them narrowly.
Well, they're plains animals, though. I don't think they'd actually be in Pennsylvania.
Well, Buffalo, New York's actually named after the buffalo. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I guess they're...
You're thinking of the bison.
It's the same
thing. Those are bison, you dick.
You're thinking of the plains bison.
You're thinking of the Buffalo Sabres.
Speaking of hockey, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup Final is tied right now, 1-1.
I mean, you're just reaching for that seamless transition, aren't you?
Oh, I was.
Yeah, that stunk.
Well, he said Buffalo Sabres.
We weren't even done with the conversation.
I know, we were still talking about the Buffalo in South Park.
Okay, keep talking about the Buffalo in South Park.
No, you had to go stomp all over it. We'll do what you wanted to talk about.
What do you got, Lawrence? Go ahead. St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
And
Boston Bruins.
Boston Bruins. Series tied 1-1.
Game 3.
After an overtime win by the St. Louis Blues in Game 2.
And it was their first St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup final win ever.
Really?
Yeah. Because
well, they've never been to the finals.
Well,
before,
they've been
have
to
they?
The finals.
Yeah, they've been to the finals.
They were
straight.
The first. They were the first of. The, so there's the original six, and then there's the original six expansion teams, which was like the Penguins and the Kings and the Blues and everything in '67. And the Blues, of course, they put them all in their own conference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Of course, somebody has to go to the final, and it was the Blues in the first 2 years, I think.
Two or three years.
Yeah, it was the Blues.
Yeah, '67, '68, or '68, '69, '70.
So they got swept every time
by Boston every time.
By Boston every time.
Well, not by Boston. '70, they lost to Boston a couple other times.
Okay.
And yeah, somebody had to go, and that's the way it was structured back in those days. And they just got swept every time. But this is why it's kind of important, is because they're playing Boston again, the 49-year rematch. Mm-hmm. And Boston just wins everything right now.
But you know what? I want to point out that that's why it was really remarkable that the Las Vegas Knights last season went to the final. Because, you know, that's what they kept saying was, oh, this is the first time since the Blues in 1967 that a new expansion team went to the final. Except in 1967, someone had to go because they were all in the same conference.
Yeah, the way it was designed, somebody was going to win that
conference.
Double
number of teams.
Of all new teams.
Right. There were all new teams in that conference. Someone had to go.
And ever since then, all the expansion teams that had traditionally come out were terrible for like 10 years before they actually get to the playoffs and then lose in the first round for about five straight years.
Except the Vegas Knights.
Except the Vegas Knights.
The NHL had a... I mean, they wanted the Knights to succeed, so they... I mean, they didn't do the same kind of draft lottery they did for the Jets or anything.
They did do something different with the draft.
They opened it up a lot more.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't like Fleury fuck up in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, he did.
See, when I lived in Vegas, everyone's like, "Oh, Fleury's so great. Why'd Pittsburgh give him up?" And I'm just like,
"You'll find out.
Yeah. Wait for it.
Wait for it.
There you go."
What year was it he had that breakdown in the playoffs for the Penguins?
Against Philly. Well, there was like several years.
Well, Philadelphia, the whole team was just absolute horseshit.
Okay,
so that doesn't count.
That doesn't
count. He can't put that on him.
I remember that.
It was 2014 when he really shit the bed in the first round against the Islanders, and we didn't see him again the rest of the year. But that's the only real one that you can pin on Fleury.
I mean, I get that he's a nice guy, but people in Pittsburgh, they get, like, too attached.
Everybody was shitting on Fleury before he left.
No, that's not true.
Oh, yeah, they were.
He was, like, a darling.
And then as soon as he leaves, they should never get rid of Fleury. The fickle sports fans here, especially the ones that don't know anything, they always blame the quarterback, they always blame the head coach, and they always blame the goalie.
Well, to be fair, Dan Bylsma did suck.
After a while, he did.
And Fleury also wasn't very good.
But we're talking about the Blues right now.
Just saying.
And why we're cheering for the Blues.
Why are we cheering for the Blues?
The Unpaid Programming Podcast is officially cheering for the St. Louis Blues, who play Game 3 tonight on this day of taping. It'll be resolved by the time you hear it.
Yeah.
Hell, the whole series might be over by the time you hear it. Wade Lawrence works.
Oh, shut
up. Well, you know, if you guys want to take it...
That's all right.
This requires some effort.
What if we hire?
We are really shitty, so I have to edit a lot out.
I use the word hire, which is a really stupid phrase to use.
Are you suggesting that we outsource the editing to India?
Yes. For $20, we can get this show professionally edited.
You know what? I think I can get it done for $9.95.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Still not better than free, man.
That's true. Lawrence will do it for free.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, our show will start sounding like Indian humor.
What'll happen? What'll happen is we'll give it to, like, an Indian, and we'll be like, yeah, just edit everything out that, like, doesn't make sense. And then it turns out we get the guy that doesn't speak any English. So he just deletes it, and he's like, I'm done.
Finish.
But to keep with the local angle.
Yes, because that's the most important one.
Jeff and I are having a show outing that we didn't invite you guys to.
Okay. It's not a show outing. This is two of us.
If half the show is involved, it counts as a show outing.
Are you bringing any of the mics?
So we have a show outing tomorrow also to play golf. And then we have another show outing.
Anytime me and Jeff do anything. It's a show outing.
It's a show outing.
We have the unpaid programming banner with us. We sit at a table and
you know,
sign autographs.
Maybe that wouldn't be such a bad idea. Have a banner to take to Kennywood with you.
Yeah, shut up. We're going to Kennywood. For those not from the area, which is a lot of you.
Kennywood is an amusement park near Pittsburgh. Yeah. That's all you need to know. It has roller coasters and shit. Actually, it has some pretty iconic roller coasters. Built in the 1920s and stuff like that.
The Jackrabbit was built in 1921 by the John A. Miller Company.
There you go. There you go. John was doing an impression of Rick Seabass, who is a...
We're never going to get anywhere if you keep explaining this to people.
We're going to have to.
We've got to explain. It's the new show.
It's we decided to open up our brand new show
we're going, we're going local right now, okay. So we got to explain local things.
Lawrence, can I make a suggestion? Because when we're changing the show...
We've changed the show.
This is the show.
This is the new show.
What if you just changed... Like, we still used all the Lawrence Watson, like, show stuff, and we just changed, like, the name.
That's what we did.
I know, but, like, we still put it under the same thing.
Oh, I get it. So yeah. We take, like, the old show, and then Lawrence will start, like, hello, good evening, and welcome to the Lawrence Watson, or to the Unpaid Programming Show.
No, I just mean, why
we just overdub it.
Why make a new channel? Just change the name on the
current
channel.
Because the hosting site wouldn't let me change the name.
Oh,
there's dicks at Wooshka.
Yeah.
What if you spell it wrong for the new show?
I could just delete it and then create the new ones.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. So anyway.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to Kennywood.
Yeah. And I was reminded of this story whenever my brother and I were talking about this. Whenever I was a kid.
Oh, boy.
It seemed like... Oh. You know what? I'm going to the pee. I'm going to pee. I'm done. I quit.
Just tell the story.
Well, whenever I was a kid, it seemed like every time I go in the bumper cars, I was like, you know, you drive around and try to gain some speed so you can slam it.
like how bumper cars work.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember you were talking about this.
And whenever I was a kid, like I'm trying to like, you know, do good bumper car stuff. And I always get like T-boned every time by the same type of guy. And it was always like a guy like in his mid to early 30s, mullet, the Bret Hart style Oakley sunglasses, purple tank top, and mustache.
Woo!
And he was letting his like 4-year-old drive. Yeah! All right, you know. And last year I went with Doug, and I was telling Doug about this. And when we were in line for the bumper cars, we saw that guy. Aged about 20 years.
It's probably the same guy.
It might be the same guy.
Sure, it was.
Except he traded, you know, the purple tank top and the acid wash jeans in for like, you know, some jean shorts and a polo because he's older now. You know,
you gotta look a little professional.
But like, it seems like you just see the same people every time that you go. And I don't know. To me, it was just odd that like that's the same guy again, just aged 20 years. I wonder if he just goes every day.
Well, I mean, you know. The population around here is decreasing, and that's normally, I think, because people just die off.
Wait, I know what it is.
So the same people.
I know what it is. Tim.
Yes.
You've seen Westworld.
I have.
That's what Kennywood is. They're all robots.
I knew it. It's
you go there, and you're the
robot.
Only. You're like the only real people. Everybody else is these realistic robots that keep hitting
of
you with
Yinzers.
The bumper cars.
Yeah. Robots of Yinzers, all wearing Steelers jerseys with ugly girlfriends.
Oh my God! I can't believe I saw that.
The other thing I noticed about I don't know if this is true anywhere else, but
he just yacked up all his potato patch fries.
The scary part would be when the Yinzer robots like self-actualized.
Well, that's what happened whenever they got rid of the logjammer. And all the Yinzer robots, there was an uprising.
Collectively lost their Yinzer shit.
You can't take out the logjammer.
That's a goddamn institution.
I got my first hand job on there.
That's not true. It would be the old mill.
The old mill.
The old mill is the home of Kennywood hand jobs.
Kennywood hand jobs.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
Is it about hand jobs?
No.
Oh.
But I feel a little bit off. And I think I'm a bit haunted by something that someone said to me the other day.
Yeah.
And I can't get out of my head. My one instructor for my advanced EMT course... Like, he's a fat dude, and he, like, coughs a lot. He's constantly coughing. Yeah, he does that. And he has, like, he has quite the prominent jowl.
Does he sound like he has prominent jowl?
A little bit, yes.
Does he look like the type of guy that can just be like sitting straight up and then fall asleep and just like rests where it is?
Does he look like me?
No.
No, because you know what?
You don't really have jowls.
I know what Tim's describing.
It's the guy that he doesn't have a neck.
Yeah, and his breathing is really compromised, which, like, he's a paramedic, so you think he would be, like, a bit more concerned about that. But anyways.
It's probably just general fat guy breathing, which is always, like, through the nose, just.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
Timmy, let me tell you something. You ever put butter on your cookies, Tim?
So here's the thing. He started going into one of his coughing fits, and like there's some secretions that are flying.
Secretions.
Expectorants.
That's like one of those. That's like one of those millennial words that they all hate, like pus.
So he goes, "I apologize. I hope I didn't get any lung cookies on any of the guys."
Lung cookies?
And that phrase has been stuck in my head ever since.
What does that mean?
Lung cookies.
Lung cookies.
Yeah.
What is a lung? Is that like phlegm?
Yeah, like
that's disgusting.
Lung cookies.
Like you're gonna get some like this disgusting bodily like just substance that comes from inside of you on somebody else, and they're gonna like give it a cute name like cookies.
I just picture like these little cookies in his alveoli. That's.
I hope I didn't get any ass brownies on you. Ugh.
Picture a bunch of little men in there baking.
What if you jizz on lung someone? Cookies. Then what do you call it? Like I hope I didn't get any swim buddies on you.
Swim buddies.
But I'm haunted by it, guys. I can't get it out of my head. I've seen a lot of dead people over the past like couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
But the worst thing is
lung cookies. That's what's staying with
me. I totally agree.
Lung cookies.
I agree
100%. Dead and dying people.
I haven't seen any dead people or the lung cookies, but
no
I
issue
understand.
Whatsoever. Lung cookies though? Ugh.
I still want to know what that means.
I don't know, man.
What kind of cookies does he have?
Coughing up all this disgusting shit.
Lung cookies.
But like, what kind of cookies?
It boggles the mind, Lawrence. I don't know. I don't know.
I can't think of any good cookie that you could name something like that.
I don't have the answers, Lawrence.
Anything that comes for your lungs from your lungs and gets on some. So did anything get on you? Like, did you actually like?
No, I think
did you get something on you? You thought it was just spits. You're like, ugh. But then he says lung cookies.
The
and
cop
like,
ah! was like right next to me too. So the comment was directed at me, but like,
ew!
Yeah, he missed me. But lung cookies.
What color was it?
Like, it was just spittle, but, like, lung cookies.
That means that he knows it's not just spittle. Like, he's got something else going on. He knows something is coming up.
He's got his, like, horrible compromised fat guy breathing.
He probably has, like, chronic bronchitis or something.
And then he just hacks up enough where he gives it a pet name.
Exactly.
Phlegm and mucus.
So it's not the first time he's used that phrase, right?
He didn't
couldn't
come.
Be.
Yeah.
Couldn't be.
Oh, Daddy, you guys lung cookies again.
What if he, like, he shits his pants? And he, like,
sorry about my butt brownies, guys.
Yeah, and he gets up from the chair and he's like, oh, got a little yoo-hoo on there. I hate this guy. I don't know him, but I hate him.
It's rough. I can't sleep at night anymore.
He's going to be your partner for like 12 years.
Lung cookie.
Please tell me you've showered since this incident and coming into my house.
You're not bringing any lung cookies into the studio, are you?
Just me, like, sitting in the shower, scrubbing myself and crying.
With his fucking
lung cookies.
You're scraping yourself with, like, steel wool. Like, I have to get the lung cookies off.
Unclean! Unclean!
You might have inhaled some, actually. You might want to get that checked out.
That's how you spread the blood.
You know what you should cookies? Do? The next time he's talking to you and he like,
I'm sorry,
like,
Tim.
You like wipe yourself off and be like, hey, how about a little milk with those lung cookies?
All okay. And then he drops his pants.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Timmy, let me give you some advice. Albuterol
That's the ticket.
He probably could use some albuterol.
I can't breathe.
I feel like I just missed the funny medical joke because I don't get it. What's albuterol?
Yeah, you're not learned like
it's
me.
It's a bronchodilator that makes
all the inhalers. You know, that's what's in it.
Yeah, if you have asthma and shit.
Instead of just compressed air like the false inhalers.
Now,
the false
now I'm surprised he hasn't used it when he's giving us scenarios in class.
So you're coming upon a 12-year-old.
A 12-year-old.
Who weighs 350 pounds.
He has a serious case of lug cookies. What are you going to do?
Well, I would obviously get him some milk first. Maybe tuck him into bed.
It's worse than I thought. We thought we had a case of lung Chips Ahoy. But it's full on lung cheesecake.
I would start an IV and push fluids. Did you not hear me? I said he had lung cookies. Well, are they Chips Ahoy or Famous Amos?
You start looking through your textbook, like, where's the fucking lung cookie?
Lung cookies.
Chronic emphysema, often referred to as lung cookies.
I think we found our new Korean dog.
I want to see one of those, you know, those like lawyer commercials for class action lawsuits.
Have you been working with asbestos?
Have you got lung cookies? Call Berger and Green, the injury lawyers.
I mean that's pretty like but I don't understand why it's just sticking with you so much.
I understand.
It's gonna stick with us
because it was on his face. That's why.
Who says lung cookies?
Big fat guys.
I've never said lung cookies before today.
No, I get it. John, see what it is the guy was talking to Tim, and it was already gross because he was like, because Tim thought the guy was spitting on him. But then when he says lung cookies, that means it's not just spit. It's something that came from his lungs. It's some kind of phlegm or mucus that is now on Tim's face. And he just wiped it off like it was, you know, spit or something. But what he really needed was like an acid bath to really fully wash it off.
The fat guy wipes him off with his personal hanky.
Oh, no.
He's been acting into all day.
Yeah, here, let me dab off those lung cookies for you. Oh, whoops, I gave you the wrong side of the hanky.
Oh, God. Tim,
excuse me.
Tim, I think you need to get a new job.
Oh, this is an instructor. He's not my partner.
Oh, thank God. So you don't have
to. Now you have
to
listen to and respect this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
He's actually pretty good.
Except for the lung cookies.
Good as he tells everybody, he would take care of himself and not get a bad case of the lung cookies.
Does he have you use the CPR doll after him?
I don't know, but man, I would hate to go on a cardiac arrest with him because there's no way.
He might have a cardiac arrest.
Well, the standard is like 2 minutes to switch like chest compressions. And it's like.
And Tim has to do two people at once because the other guy killed over too because he's enormous.
I'd be impressed if he could make it 30 seconds. Which also reminds me, speaking of like fat guy EMS stories.
Oh, boy.
So like I went to this cardiac arrest when I was precepting. And it's three paramedics, I'm an EMT, and there's another EMT.
And I needed help out of the bathroom.
So, like, we get there to, like, CPR is already in progress, and it's, like, at a nursing home. So, like, we're taking over. I'm looking around, like, the room. Everyone else is a paramedic, so they're all doing paramedic stuff. So I'm looking at the EMT. The EMT is, like, 50, and I'm just looking him up and down. And just, like, huge beer gut. Like, giant beer gut. And I'm just like, well, I guess I'm going to be doing chest compressions.
Was his button-up uniform open at his belly button? And no one bothers to tell him?
Was he wearing a ginormous belt buckle?
He made it about 20 seconds of chest compressions before I had to take over.
I gotta stop.
And then it was me doing chest compressions for basically, like, 10 minutes straight. It sucked. It was horrible. It was very sweaty.
But didn't you, you were saying before the show.
Were you yelling, live, goddammit, live!
So, yes.
Life!
I gave
life, do you hear me?
I gave amazing chest compressions because we got,
Did you have a cigarette afterwards?
Yeah. No, but the guy probably, who we were doing them on, probably had a ton of cigarettes. But anyways.
Did he live?
Well, we got pulses back for a solid minute.
And while they were slapping hands, he went
yeah.
back.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Guys, we did it!
Yeah, we had boop!
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he didn't make it. We lost it again. But I'm saying, you know, I gave that dude an extra minute or two of life.
Code blue!
Yeah. For the purposes of this story, we'll say he lived. How about that?
Yeah, the other dudes took over chest compressions. And, yeah. Well, you want to do chest compressions, we'll see. Anyways.
But this is at a nursing home, right?
Yeah.
So why do they even bother with all that shit? Well, how old was the guy? He was probably, like, even if you saved him that time, he was probably just going to go down in a couple days anyway.
Well, I can't give ages or anything like that because of HIPAA, but, like...
HIPAA sucks.
Yeah.
Ruining our podcast, HIPAA. You motherfuckers, we're coming for you. You hear us, HIPAA? We're coming for you.
Otherwise, you could say it was actually Larry Greenwald of 317 Sycamore Avenue.
Though I will say, when we walked into the room, there was like 20 people in the room, and none of them were like, two people were actually doing stuff, and we're like, everyone get out.
Like, what were they doing? All right, this is our job now. Yeah, not anymore, is it?
If I fluff his pillow.
Maybe I can help him to the bathroom. Maybe that'll help. The problem is that you can't, like, say the name of the nursing home on the air.
No, I definitely can't.
So you can tell people not to send their parents there?
Well, it's
just
actually...
don't send your parents there anyway. It's a nursing home. What the
it's
fuck?
It's not surprising that we got pulses back because that's, like, the only time when, like, CPR works is if, like, CPR started, like, right after they go into cardiac arrest.
Just get on that shit.
Boom. Yeah.
Until the paddles come in.
Yeah.
Clear!
Yeah, shocked them too a couple times. Yeah.
Did when you shocked them, did they yell clear? Jump violently after being
it's
shocked?
It's not like a movie. It's just sort of, I don't
know. I'm pretty sure
there's like
that's
a little bit
happens.
Of like, and that's it.
Actually, Jeff, I'm pretty sure this is a good time to, I usually hate your Reddit stories, but.
What?
About your hilarious comment.
I was just making a comment about, like, someone said, like, that. You can't shock a flat line. Asystolic,
yeah.
It's systole. You can't shock it.
Yeah.
Which I already knew that. You know, I'm a.
Yeah.
I know things.
You're pretty much a doctor at this point.
Pretty much. I've had the CPR training.
He's gone to medical school.
Yeah. Show me your rash. That's what I said. Anyway. And I just made a comment about how it really happens, which is where the you know the patient flat lines. Boo. And then some doctors go like, code blue. And then all these people run in. And then the doctor grabs the paddles and he taps them together. And then he yells, clear! And then he shocks the patient. And the patient jumps up. And then the doctor is just, clear! He shocks them again. And jumps up. And there's all these people around. And they're like messing around the tubes and the hoses and everything. And everybody's freaking out. And there's all these you know machines making noise. And then the nurse is like, he's gone, Jim. He's gone.
Calling it.
And the doctor says, no. He's like, call it, Doris.
A doctor would like, never do
time
that.
Of death, 8:58.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you gotta do the time. She looks at her watch and says, 8:58. Or, if it's an old-timey scene where someone dies.
Well, what I was thinking.
You know what they do is they stop the clock. They like open up the door on the clock and stop the pendulum from moving.
Oh. So
where did you see that?
I've seen it in at least one thing.
Dr. Kildare.
See, what I was thinking is they pronounce a dude, and then that's when everyone's like, oh, we lost. And then, like.
No, it's the doctor first.
Then there's
we
just,
lost him.
Yeah, then there's just one little boop.
Boop.
Oh, my God.
We saved him, guys.
And they start slapping hands like the end of Apollo
and then,
13. And then Doris has to call it again. Poor Doris.
A doctor would never do that. By the way. Like,
thank you for pointing that out to us, Tim.
Well, the thing was,
we would have never
like,
known.
He brings the guy back. He's like, yeah, fuck yeah.
No, I just mean like.
I'm the best doctor in the goddamn world.
Doctors, like, aren't idiots, though. They know if you're doing CPR, like, you're pretty much screwed anyways. So, like, they're going to be like, yeah, good work, everyone. What can you do? Like, walk away. Like, they couldn't do an emotional, like, they'll just... They'd be so drained after, like, a month.
Yeah, that's what they always show on TV. Except, I mean, I understand, like, on the show Scrubs.
Yeah.
The only, like, they were...
Well, that's
I think they
different.
Were kind
it's
of
not an ED.
Well, I think they were kind of realistic about, like, people's yeah. actual emotions. So, like, you know, whenever Dr. loses his first patient, of course, he's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably what happens in real life. When you lose your first patient, it probably sucks. But then you know you get used to it. Like, yeah, people are just gonna die sometimes, and
yeah,
under my care, and that's what I got to deal with. It's gonna happen. But the only time that like you saw Dr. Cox, he gets really emotional because he screwed up.
Yeah, he fucked something up.
He screwed up, and he gave all those people the rabies organs.
Yeah,
and they all died.
That was a pretty heavy-handed episode.
It was.
Holy yeah, shit. That's a great episode.
Yeah, it was great though.
And I've heard from several different people in the medical field, Scrubs is actually the most accurate of all the all the medical TV shows.
What about House? Dr. House.
It's not lupus.
Yeah.
Yeah, my
life. That's always the go-to reference every time somebody talks about House.
I would love to do that as an EMT. Like, try to be... Like, try to do, like, the House thing. Like, abdominal pain. Eh?
It's lupus.
You say you have toe pain. Like...
Have you been in the Amazon recently? No.
Well,
because there's a parasite lupus. That swims up your penis if you pee into the Amazon River.
Ew.
I think that's real, actually.
That is real. I've heard that that's real.
Wiener cookies.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Wieners don't make cookies. Wieners make milk.
Yeah, come on. We established this earlier.
I just wish I could do a good house impression just because, like, the patient would be like, oh, I think I got food poisoning, and be like, wrong.
What you need to do, Tim, wrong. Is you need to do a British accent and then try to suppress that.
And do
what
the
you
American
have is a rare South American parasite.
What you have is a rare South American parasite. I can't do it.
Why'd you even try?
That was worth a shot.
Yeah.
All right. I have to pee.
All right.
So I think this is about a good time for a break, everybody, as we refill our beers and make pee-pee sprinkles. So we'll be right back.
And edit out half of that.
First half we did. Cookies.
Oh, no. Lung cookies is staying, man.
It's all staying.
We'll be right back after this, folks.
The Unpaid Programming Podcast is brought to you by Big Greasy Jim's Big Greasy BBQ.
You've tried 100 BBQ joints in the state of West Virginia, but all those roadside stands, backyard brick pits, and smokehouse saloons wouldn't leave an oil stain if you ate in cotton gloves. You dream of the hot, dripping beef brisket, the steaming, oozing pork picnic. Yet only the Sandman enters your sleeping chamber with dry, crumbly, overdone, and undergreased smokehouse sins. That Big Greasy Jim's Big Greasy BBQ, we put your slumberous, suet-sogged yearnings on low heat over grease-soaked hickory wood and smother them in sauce. For a limited time, ease your whole family's fat famine with Big Jim's Big Pig and Beef Boat. For just $49.99, set sail on a corpulous cruise beginning with a trip through the Sargrizo Sea, where you will enjoy a steaming, greasing pile of burn ends cut from the fat-laden brisket point and tossed into a pool of smoke-rendered beef trimmings. Then, for the remainder of our voyage through the fat Atlantic Ocean, the mesquite mermaids will serve you an assortment of smoked pork scrap sausages, stuffed in-house with a double dose of full fat hog liver. Next, as our grease galleon continues east to traverse the satiating waters of the Mediterranean Sea, the ancient Grecian gods of Mount Corpulimpus will imbricate our Vesalinius vessel with a tumultuous torrent of delectitious drippings that rain down from dark smoky clouds of pulled beef chuck soaked in Big Jim's grease-based BBQ bolognese. And if our hall of hedonism can weather a thunderous hail of gelatinous smoked and grease-braised oxtail, we will turn our lubricious boat north and make way for the porcine paradise that awaits our party in the Lardanelles. As we slide through the Cellulosis Strait, we'll find on our port side fatuous mountains of pulled pork, gushing their peach-smoked grease streams onto a bed of black hog back fat crackling. On our starboard side, cliffs of lard-laden butter-smoked spare ribs, dripping with alpine springs of that Jim's special bolognese. And when we reach the dock of lardaceous grease steaming ham hocks and loin chops, you will beg your captain to drop the apple-smoked andouille saucy janker and never return home. But I am your captain, and I have delivered your lard-lusting souls to the big greasy Garden of Eden, where you will dine on my feast of fat tabulous fruits for an unctuous eternity.
Big Greasy Jim's closes at 9 p.m.
Hi, welcome back. We've had a lot of fun in the first half of our show, and now we're going to cover our canvas with a thin, even coat of liquid white, to which we're going to apply a heavy dose of lung cookies. That's going to give our canvas a nice texture of mucus and phlegm.
John, you know, how do I lead into this here? Because
we were
discussing during our little break
our days of adolescence.
Yeah, exactly.
We were,
and a memory popped up, which I forgot about up until like this week. And it was something that I don't think Tim was. We all went to the same school.
Yeah, we.
And I don't believe Tim was part of it. So you might.
No, because we were in eighth grade that year.
No, seventh.
Well,
seventh
this
grade?
Is Coach O's story, right?
No.
We'll get to that.
We're coming to that
first.
There was an incident.
There was an incident
that made the Channel 4 Action News.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I was in high school, but I remember.
So in those days we had in school suspension, and what it was a desk parked next to a vending machine in, like, the main hallway. And what would happen was the kids in school suspension would just start hanging out like with all the other passersby and talking to them. So they put this like divider up.
Yeah. Now, if you've seen like a 1950s film where like the woman's changing and she has like one of those things that she changes.
No,
behind.
It's not even that. It
that's
wasn't
what,
even. No, no, no.
It
wasn't even that.
No.
Think it was of, built like no. one of those.
Think of like the 1960s or 70s kitchen where they would divide it with like a like rail, like vertical rails. You know what I mean?
Oh,
almost like a whole
okay.
bunch of table legs lined up.
Yeah, like table legs.
Yeah. It did look like table legs.
So you could see through it.
Yeah.
And so they just did that, and nobody thought anything of it. Now, I don't know if I ever told you this, guys, but I was actually present for the photo.
I was too.
Okay,
oh, you were.
We were being led, and there was a kid in school suspension. And now, Lawrence, with your expert knowledge in professional wrestling, you'll find out why he was in there, and you can explain to the listeners better than I can. He gave a kid stink face. Was why he was in school suspension.
That's why he was in.
That's why he was in school suspension.
Yeah. Wait. What do you mean, stink face?
Lawrence will explain.
Okay, the stink face was, I can't even call it a wrestling move because it's really not. Where a big fat 400-pound Samoan guy who wore a very revealing thong would get a guy down in the corner, and he would proceed to back up.
Uh-oh.
And rub and rub his bare ass cheeks person's face.
So that's what this.
So this is
did.
What this kid did apparently.
So how much did he have to pay for that?
Did he do it like?
I assume at least 50.
No, Tim. Considering the kid was 13, I mean that's going to cost you a whole lot.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's, you know, a little bit.
There's a Catholic priest somewhere, just like
oh man.
Now hold on a second.
I wanted to do an Uncle Paul right there, but that's stealing.
I want to know something. Did this happen in like the gym locker room?
I think it
I
did.
Wasn't there for it, but it must have
in a restroom or something like that. I don't know if he actually dropped his pants, but he definitely just backed his ass into a kid. I'm pretty sure he farted.
You know what, man? You guys are acting like that's pretty casual, but like if you're that kid,
if
that's
the,
getting
well,
stink face.
For me, it is pretty casual because I saw it over and over and over again over the years.
I'm picturing a certain gym teacher of ours in the locker room going.
Oh no.
Now listen here. Now as hot as that is, as turned on as I am right now, you're in big trouble.
But what if the kid he did it was like, you know, like kind of nerdy and getting picked on a lot, then like that's not very cool. So I can understand it.
Yeah, the kid himself also was cool. Got his share of abuse as well. No one liked him.
Man, I remember like middle school gym locker room. There was two kids that we were always trying, like they were always kind of, you know, like bitching at each other and at each other's throats, like especially in the locker room. They'd give each other like a little shove here and there.
Yeah.
And we'd all like egg them on, like, come on, just fight, fight, fight. And we would make them try to get them to fight. And eventually they did. And then we all just broke it up. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. We just stopped it as soon as it finally, because it was like it finally happened. And that was like,
what do we do?
We just, like, we just wanted it to happen. And then it did. And then we just stopped it.
Okay, we got
to
stop this.
We're like, all right, we did it. Now let's dial it back.
Well, anyhow, so the guy that, you know, actually put a finishing move on somebody ended up at the desk with the little, you know, chair railing divider.
Mm-hmm.
And as we are walking to a goddamn assembly for some shit, guest speaker, who the hell knows what it was, but he turned around and put his hands on the bars of the divider, like the sad gorilla at the zoo. And his goddamn grandma took a picture of it and then sent it to Channel 4 Action News. So by like a couple days later when I got home, my parents were like, did you know the kid in the cage?
Yeah, that's right. That was the story. The kid was in a cage.
Yeah. My mother had a freak out over it because she didn't get along with the administration in that building.
Mm.
So she immediately pulled me out of the school for the remainder of what was left of the year. So I didn't show up for like the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 days that were left.
Why?
I don't fucking know.
You weren't giving people stink face, were you? I mean, you definitely have the ass for it. Sorry.
No, I don't have the ass for it. My ass, I have the Hank Hill thing.
Oh.
I have that Hank Hill disease with my ass, but that's a reference that many people listening in England probably will not get.
But see, that's really the purpose of this podcast, though.
To make references that nobody gets.
No. To get people in England to watch King of the Hill.
You know what? I think that's what our mission should have been along.
It should have been,
to get people to watch King of the Hill around the world.
Yeah.
But, so the best part about this was, you know, talk about one of your greatest backfires was because everybody, you know, their parents, you know, all the students, their parents would ask them about it. And then they'd be like, oh, he did that because nobody else, that was a big deal. It was just, that was what in-school suspension was. And he had to go have his grandma take his picture and go, man, I'm sorry.
I remember the principal, I'm not going to mention his name.
Oh, I missed that guy.
Was there.
That guy was awesome.
And he came out saying, who took that picture? Because he thought it was a student.
Yeah.
And the grandmother said, and she was waving the camera, if you remember. She waved the camera and said, I did. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just loved his reaction. I was like, oh, okay.
So the grandma, who was concerned with her son's well-being, had played the most important part of him for the next several years, being referred to as Monkey Boy.
Yeah. Because didn't he tell the news people that? Or he told somebody that?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that was the story. Oh, people call me stuff like Monkey Boy. You know,
they were probably calling him before that anyway.
No, but
nobody else who ever got
that's how he got that name is because he made it up. The news story had a quote from him saying, people call me names like Monkey Boy. No one called him Monkey Boy until the news story.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't even like really know this kid. So.
I don't know this kid, but was he neither a jag-off?
Oh, yeah.
He was
a jag-off.
I didn't know him.
So
but
he kind of deserved
just a dumpy kid that just walked around pissed off all the time.
Yeah, so I don't know. Publicly shaming someone.
He's probably listening right now.
But out of all the people you can publicly shame, that's probably... Like,
they didn't have the space for in-school suspension. It was a desk by a vending machine, you know? Like, I never saw it as a big deal.
He was bullying someone. Like, fuck him.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't talk about that on Channel 4 Action News. Yeah. Stinkface is a professional wrestling move done by a large Samoan wearing a thong.
Yeah, they left
they
that
They just got me to do the explanation.
But now you have these kids in the junior highs and the middle schools, and they're shoving their friends' faces in their assholes.
Could your kid be getting high that was from my stink face tonight at 6?
Yeah, I was going to say, that was my bad Dr. Phil.
Yeah, that was terrible.
It was a really bad Dr. Phil.
What's with you today?
I don't know.
Jeff, you're just not on today.
I'm not in the mood for impressions, all right?
All right.
That fine. Kills about 80% of this show.
Now, Jeff, can you tell me why you don't feel like doing impressions today? It's okay here.
That was pretty bad, too.
I'm sorry. I apologize. All right.
Now, you have to understand.
Okay, now that we've got these bad impressions out of the way,
let's back to Monkey Boy here.
We American people have decided that we don't like the stink face.
American people are shoving their asses into students' faces.
Oh, we have children putting their faces into each other's assholes. Can I say, this is a problem.
I wish I could say that young Andy Dufresne did not have an ass shoved into his face in the locker room. I wish I could say.
Only the top 0.1% of millionaires and billionaires have not been stink faced, and I think it's about time that they get their fair share of stink faces.
Ooh, yay, Bernie!
I hear you. The American people hear you. And soon, anyone who stink face.
I don't know.
Who are you even doing?
I think that was George W. Bush.
Okay.
The Twin Towers. That's a horrible one. I can't do a Bush.
George W. Bush would be like, yeah, that's what me and my friends, we used to grab people and pull our pants down. We shove their faces into our asses.
That does seem so. Yeah.
It was just the kind of thing we did at the Skull and Bones.
Yeah. George W. Bush is the kind. He would be doing this thing.
Bush
would
have been president at the time, too, right?
Yeah, he was president.
He was.
I'm surprised he
GW
didn't weigh in.
GW was president at the time.
Yeah, this story happened during the George W. Bush administration.
That's right.
Yeah,
so first George W. Bush administration.
It seems like something.
No.
He,
Oh, no. Oh, never mind. I was confused.
No, it would be the first George W. Bush.
I was thinking the first George Bush, because that's a whole other thing.
It seems like something he would ask for updates on. I want to know about the monkey boy.
I don't know what's going on.
I
want to
know
if
this kid
monkey
is
boy.
Still in a cage.
People keep saying I look like a monkey.
Our education system right now in America is putting kids in cages, and we're not for that.
Okay, that's enough of this.
That was in a very good transition between...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, you kind of did the same thing I did.
Anyway, so speaking of adolescents.
This speaking of middle school.
Yeah.
Lawrence and I, we were in the same class.
We went to the same middle school.
But Lawrence and I were in the same, we had a class together with a certain teacher.
Coach O.
This is the Coach O.
Yeah, I don't think he would care.
You jumped the gun on it earlier, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
we're saying Coach O because we don't have to give any real
names.
He's
probably dead now anyway.
He might be. I don't know. He walked with a cane even like back then.
Oh, whenever I was subbing, I think he was still there, or maybe it might have been later, like in high school. But,
yeah, but
I saw him walking around not only with a cane but also those cataract sunglasses.
Oh, nice. Yeah, but he was a ridiculous buffoon of a teacher who didn't even teach anything. I don't even remember what the class was. It was some kind of
social studies.
But what was it at the time? I don't know. Because if you remember, we had geography in like seventh grade, and then we had something like history in eighth grade. What the hell do we have in sixth grade?
Cultures.
Fine.
World culture.
If you say so.
What?
But that's not what we had
to teach world cultures.
The
guy from the Mon Valley that has never left the Mon Valley in his whole fucking life.
No, he did leave the Mon Valley because he
went to Pittsburgh once.
he taught like the girls' basketball team at Bethel Park or something like that also.
And he went to Ohio 2 or 3 times for a tournament.
Exactly.
That's about right.
Yeah, it's probably about it. But yeah,
there's a bigger world out there, guys, that you guys just don't understand. Have you ever been to Ohio?
Real quick sidebar, there was another teacher who was well known that he lived with his mom, and his big trip was Anchorage, Alaska. And that's all he'd ever talk about was the one time he coached girls basketball in Anchorage, Alaska. And the other time when he saw the Weather Channel had the maroon on it, that was another one.
I'll be honest.
That was a big deal.
That's farther away from this place than I've ever been.
Oh, well, yeah. Guess you're catching up
actually,
with...
Actually, you know,
I mean,
farther away than anybody with Tim's been.
Well, honestly, Alaska is like pretty far by Malich. Like, it would be... I mean, even if you went to Europe, it's probably not as far
Road
as Alaska.
Trip!
Yeah.
We had one planned. It's the Orange Belt.
Oh, just the Orange Belt.
The Orange Belt.
Need to rent the...
Oh, I caught a lot of heat for this, so I'm going to do this now. Shout out to my cousin, Carly, who asked me to shout her out whenever we mentioned the Orange Belt.
Why?
I got to ask her.
She complained at the.
Wait a minute. We might have new listeners. We have to explain the orange belt in the belt system around Pittsburgh.
Oh, my God. Again?
Okay.
Yeah, again. We do.
Okay.
Again.
Pittsburgh has a series of roads. They're color coded. They're roads that already exist. They just put signs up at the end.
They were escape Perfect. Routes.
They were not escape routes. They were not.
They were not escape routes. They were just alternate
routes. I know,
to
but
avoid,
I'd like to say that.
Using
God
the major
it.
Arteries so people would go around the city instead of going through it.
This is the same guy that went around telling people that Steve Martin wrote Tonight You Belong to Me. You're full of
that's
wait.
Really,
you're full of baloney.
Wait, are you telling me that wasn't true?
That's not true.
Didn't you had to explain Carly too. No one knows who Carly is.
I said my cousin.
Yeah, I guess that covers it.
Didn't I apologize for that?
Wait a minute, Tim. No one knows who you are.
Yeah, no one knows who any of us are right now. Yeah.
And nobody's listening.
This yeah, because we changed the show name.
And we
worst
lost
idea
our following.
Ever. Yeah.
And we're basically just now doing the version of whenever you're little kids and you're talking to your tape recorder, like, yeah, radio
maybe
show.
We should just still
my
be...
special guest is dad.
You know what? Maybe we shouldn't have changed the name of the show. Maybe this
I mean,
is
Lawrence
all a big
Watson
mistake.
Show is pretty
we
good.
We were building the Lawrence Watson brand.
Yeah.
You know, then... our reasoning was sound, though, because if you want to get more listeners and you see a podcast that's by a guy you never heard of and it's just that guy's show,
you know
then
what?
You're like, who the fuck's this guy?
You are absolutely
John
right.
John Lawrence is right there.
You're absolutely right, and here's why. You know, I listen to podcasts now and then, as we all do.
Yeah.
And I,
as we all
there was,
are,
there
right?
was someone that, you know, that I wanted to see if they were, did interviews on any podcasts. So I looked their name up, thinking they would show up in the description or whatever. And then one, there has been a podcast downloaded on my phone for over a year. And because it's some... The name of the podcast is some dope name that I've never heard before. I haven't listened to it.
Well,
why don't you plug it right now?
You could have the opposite effect, though. You know, like the show Archer, how they like they do really highbrow humor and they make a lot of like.
Do they?
Literally.
Do they
well,
really do
like,
highbrow humor?
Somewhat.
It's
like
Archer.
They make references to like authors.
Do they
and,
do highbrow?
Actors
do they do highbrow
like
humor like Rick and Morty does highbrow humor?
Exactly.
Rick and Morty
so,
is faux highbrow humor.
Here's the thing.
Humor.
If so you think if you think you're an intelligent person and that you like you're in touch with everything, you see the name Lawrence Watson, you're like, oh yeah, I know who Lawrence Watson is.
The podcast for people who think they're intelligent.
Yeah.
That's how we should plug ourselves.
Yeah, that's a good point. It makes you feel like you're in touch.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you just
got your finger on the pulse.
You know what's going on everywhere.
Yeah, you have scholarly pursuits. But you were talking about Coach O, speaking of scholarly pursuits there.
Yes.
That's how you do it.
There you go.
Lawrence nice Watson, job. I think he was in a Boyhood.
But yeah, we were talking about our teacher from sixth grade, Lawrence.
Yeah,
and I
that's
was
way more
in
interesting.
The same class.
This guy
I actually
real...
remember pretty well. Like I remember where we sat. I was in the back of the one row, and then you were in the back of the row next to mine.
Yeah.
But you sat further back than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a pretty good memory of this.
That's
anyway,
captivating stuff.
But what I remember is this guy was a buffoon, like I said, and he would do things like not have real tests. Like he would have a test where the answer, he would have the real answer. It was multiple choice. So one answer would be the actual answer, and then the rest would be like Homer Simpson or something like that. Like it was just...
Bill Cowher.
Not even close.
Bill
yeah,
Cowher. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
It would just be
yeah.
so obvious what the real answer was. He wouldn't even try to make a test.
Everybody's got A's. I'm doing a great job.
I noticed one time he wrote a test that right when we finished it, there was a pattern to the correct answers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they all made like a D or was it a D or something? I think it was.
I actually saw that one time with a high school Spanish teacher that had like the matching, so it was all letters available, and then the matching worked out to be Run DMC were the first. He thought it was a goof. It was a nice
That's
little
great.
Goof. But you also have to mention Coach O Tiger Claw Kung Fu.
Oh, yeah. Coach O Tiger Claw Kung Fu, which was where he would spend at least a good portion of the class. And keep, you know, these are what, 40-minute classes in
yeah.
middle school?
Yeah, 40, yeah, 40 yeah. minutes. Yeah.
So maybe 10 of the 40 minutes, which is a quarter of the class, standing up in front and waving his hands, trying to do like Mr. Miyagi type shit.
Yeah, he did.
And just putting his hands together and he'd be like, we're holding the universe in our hands. And he'd spread them apart and say, we open up the universe. And it was just go on like that for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Now put the universe back together.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Now cut the universe into equal thirds and juggle it.
Hey, wait a minute. That's ridiculous. You don't have three hands, stupid.
So
you don't
know I said juggle.
You don't know anything about tiger claw kung fu.
I'm not a tiger claw kung fu master.
You are not a black belt tiger claw coach.
There was this story on NPR the other day, and it was very emotional about how we cheat people out of education. It's like the poor and disenfranchised and like all that shit.
Oh, yeah, we're
people
good at
coaches. Yeah,
class.
We're great at it. Don't you guys sometimes feel like you were cheated out of an education?
Sometimes. Well, no, not really.
Sometimes.
Not really.
Sometimes.
I mean, we're because all right.
There's only like.
We're all right.
The
yeah.
thing is, like, for the school that we went to, Coach O was just one guy.
There was a lot of
just
them,
just one boob
there
out
was
of like
always,
four or five boobs in any given building.
Okay, there was another teacher in seventh grade that may have lived in a group home for mentally ill people. That's
tell me I'm an one. Adult, and I live in a house with five
yes,
other adults.
Yes, I live in a house with five other adults. She was, seriously, and to compare, like I mean, honestly, when I think about, so I where I work, I've mentioned this before, we have... the people that come in, they come in and clean, and they're all, you know, mentally disabled people.
Yeah.
Like, they live, I think they come from a group home, and they come in the same van or whatever. Well,
they have to do something to make themselves useful. I mean, come on, nobody gets a free ride
actually,
in this country.
Actually, what I hear is, like, mentally disabled people are actually really good at a lot of, like,
no,
jobs.
But they're fine, they're great, you know?
Yeah,
and
they're
clean
amazing
everything.
At it.
They
yeah,
take the
they're
garbage
better.
Out. It's awesome. And there's one guy, he always, like, he's always doing something goofy in the back every day when I leave, and it's funny, and I laugh, and I say hello, I say goodbye, you know, he loves me, and I love him. But, it's great. You know, and then there's one guy who's always, like, trying to talk to everybody, and he's like, hey, how's so-and-so, how's so, he doesn't ask, yeah, they're you know,
they're
nice.
Fun, yeah.
They're just nice people. And they love other people. That's what I love about
them. How does this relate to teaching?
How it relates to teaching is
we
that
got
I
some
could hear
them,
is that,
be a
is that imagine
up.
One of these people is teaching a seventh grade science class. That's what I'm saying.
that
and that's
be
what
better.
We had.
Yeah.
I think it would actually be better.
But no, that's what we had, though.
Yeah.
Because we had someone like this teaching a seventh grade science class.
So I loved Coach O, but he was a boob.
You're saying it
taught
us
okay, yeah,
empathy and compassion.
Let's just clarify that Coach O is not this type of person.
But we weren't there
to
learn
lazy.
Empathy and compassion. Yeah, we were there to learn about science.
Social studies.
Social studies.
Well, social studies in the case of Coach O, I'm talking about a different teacher.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about a science teacher.
We're getting into the trappings of the lost episode here.
You're right.
So,
but I'm not mentioning any names.
Right. Except Coach O, who was not one of those folks. He was just lazy.
He was just lazy.
And
he was not. He's not a. He was not.
Listen.
And his greatest skill as a teacher was showing movies.
Everyone in the United States can relate to not getting a proper education. It might sound kind of weird to like our international.
But I don't feel like feel like I didn't get a proper education. I mean, I feel like this class, like you get a class here and there where you're cheated out. But when you're in middle school, you're not paying attention anyway. Like
that's
who's
true.
Sitting there like, come on, is he going to teach something? You're 12 years old. You don't give a shit. You're just sitting there in the back hoping you don't get a boner.
Did you ever get a boner in Coach O's class, Jeff?
Probably, yeah, sure. I don't. We were 12. Who didn't? At any time, at least half the boys in the class had a boner. I guarantee it. Just go to any class in middle school. Half the boys have boners.
That's why everybody can relate on being called on doing a math problem when you have a boner.
You know what? I don't remember doing that at all, and I think that the Mets had like a policy in the school.
Like,
no boys
can do math.
No boys can have to come up to the
board. Yeah,
they all have boners, staff. So remember that. But yeah, but I the reason why I brought up the showing of the movies was because
because Coach O he had this thing. So around Halloween, you remember Lawrence? He would show us the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah,
what?
He did. Yeah, he showed us that in class.
Never
mind,
I love Coach O.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I had him, I don't remember anything from it other than everyone loved him. And once he told a story about how he got a shotgun because there was like local break-ins, and he told some kid, his kid's friend, that he's going to shoot someone if they tried to steal his VCR, and the kid said, is your VCR really worth killing someone? And this was actually like pretty good. He's like,
I felt so small right then, children. He taught me that, you know, personal possessions aren't worth a person's life. And, like, you know, that's actually, that's the only
a nice
thing
little lesson. And it's kind of good that he told that story, but he was also notoriously full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did lie a lot about everything.
One of my greatest memories of Coach O was, as you all know, I'm a wrestling fan. I know this is a shock to many people.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a wrestling fan even then when a lot more people were wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would wear like...
I was a wrestling fan when it was cool.
So I would wear like a Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt, as many 12-year-olds would. And he yelled at me one time because he liked Goldberg better and thought Goldberg would take Stone Cold Steve Austin in a fight.
Oh, my God. Like, the times
we
lived
What the fuck
in.
Are you talking about?
I'm like, this discussion lasted the entire period.
Yeah, because even then, it didn't. But it's like he yelled at me for like 10 minutes. But it's like, well, you know Goldberg. He was like an NFL player, and he's like a tough guy and whatever. And I was like, and I remember saying to him after that, I was like, you know it's a work, right?
And that's why.
And
Lawrence...
that was another lesson Coach O learned that day.
And then Lawrence had to repeat sixth grade social studies.
I'll show him.
No, but I remember one time when Coach O, he showed us, well, I don't know what the context for this is. I mean, it was a long time ago, but he was going to play a movie for us because I guess he decided he didn't want to do anything for a few days.
It must have been late in the year. Like,
but I that think never I know mattered with him.
That's the thing. I don't think it was. I think it was late in the year. Like, it started out as a tape of The Matrix.
Yes.
Which had, it didn't come out that long before that and had recently come to, you know, the premium channels.
Yeah.
So he was taping it off of, like, Showtime or something like
and
that.
And plus, by the way, you shouldn't show middle school kids The Matrix.
Well, he was.
He was.
Except he would also, he wasn't just The Matrix, he would also be flipping to other channels. Because if you remember, back in the early days of the VCR, I don't want to say the early days, I remember the early days of what I remember, was when you could, like, set the VCR to record a certain channel.
Yeah.
From, you know, 8 to 8:30 or whatever, if you wanted, like, The Simpsons or something, you would set it to that time, to that channel. Then whenever digital cable came along, the way you had to hook it up, whatever was on, whatever channel the digital cable box was on, is what the VCR was recording. So I think maybe he intended to record The Matrix, but what he was actually recording was him flipping through the channels. So what we ended up watching was this tape of our teacher channel surfing.
Yeah.
He's just, like, sometimes it would go back to The Matrix, but then it was just flipping through these other channels also. So we're watching that a little bit, and then, like, all this other shit.
And then all of a sudden, like, the opening credits to Austin Powers
exactly,
start.
Like, just some other garbage. There's, it was just nothing.
There's a show idea right there. Us channel surfing, though, like, legally we could never do it.
But, no, legally not.
Yeah. Us just watching some...
What, like Beavis and Butthead watching...
Basic Cable, and then, you know, doing some riffs over it.
Cool. Hey, Beavis.
I never watched
if
Beavis
I catch
and Butthead.
You whacking in here again...
Yeah.
Anyway.
I wasn't allowed.
We weren't allowed either. I don't think we watched
it. We weren't allowed.
No,
I wasn't allowed either.
This is later in life where we've gone to enjoy it.
That's true. Yeah, Beavis and Butthead did come back briefly.
I do remember.
I understand your frustration.
Yeah, they came back for a little bit, and it was pretty funny.
And when
No, I was thinking of something else. There was this show called My So-Called Life on MTV or something like that.
I never saw that
one. Oh, my God.
And it was like a teen drama. And I just remember my sister was all about it.
I love teen drama.
Yeah, but then
Beverly Hills 90210?
Why don't you say that in the microphone, Lawrence?
Ed picked it up. I got it. I got the cans on over here.
I just looked over at Lawrence, and his mic is like a foot from his face.
This is good, expensive shit we bought.
Beverly Hills 90210?
For $25
yes, that's right.
a pop.
I did watch the first episode of Beverly Hills 90210.
But back to My So-Called Life.
Yeah, let's go back to that first, and then we can go to me, and I'll talk about Beverly Hills. But yeah, go ahead.
But, like, I remember my sister was really into that show. And then my mom, I overheard her on a phone conversation going, yeah, Linda, to her, like, best friend. I don't know, Linda. Julie really likes this show, but yesterday, they talked about sex.
Oh my God.
And I thought it was a good Christian show.
Good Christian show.
On MTV. About a teenager.
The same channel that ran Celebrity Deathmatch.
Oh, but they're saying 16 and 17 year olds have sex with each other.
Well, they do.
My mom didn't think so. She thought, like, that didn't happen.
Weirdo.
Yeah. Mon Valley upbringing. Yeah.
That'll do it to you.
Oh, come on. We all grew up in the Mon Valley. My mother knew that kind of stuff.
Okay,
now
here's a question, and maybe Jeff, you can help me with this because I don't know the specific example, but I remember at one point, and maybe this happened to you guys, where you weren't allowed to watch a show. Not because it was bad, but just because it was incredibly stupid.
I don't remember that.
I don't think stupid was
the
thing.
No, there was one stupid
John,
show.
What is your example?
I'm trying to think. I'm asking you if you remember this.
No, I don't.
Because we were banned from watching something that was stupid.
I don't know about banned. I remember Dad got mad when we were watching Full House.
I think that might be it. Yeah, that was it.
But we didn't even like Full House. We just, because it was the only thing on when we got home from school for a period of time before they rearranged the rerun lineup.
On one of those UHF stations?
Yeah, it was some shit station that we'd go home and there would be nothing on TV except for Full House. We'd watch it.
That was
And then my dad would come home and go, "What the hell are you watching that shit for?"
Well, he was right.
And I don't blame him at all. That's what I would say.
That's right. We weren't banned. We got yelled at.
We got yelled at for watching Full House. It was just sappy. And my dad didn't like the sappy stuff. I don't blame him. So we grew up like we weren't a Disney family.
We weren't.
Not a Full House family.
It was we're going to watch this, but you kids can't family. Like Seinfeld and Married with Children, for example. We were banned from that.
Yes, but I do remember one night. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and I got out of bed, and I walked down the hall, and Mom and Dad were watching Married with Children, and I distinctly remember it was the episode where they're, like, in traffic or something, and they do the, Al Bundy does the roll down the window and say, "Pardon me, do you have any gray poupon?" And I was 4 years old. I'd seen the commercials. I got it. I was like, why can't I watch this show? This is hilarious. This is amazing. Like, because I understood the joke.
As opposed to, "Ow, I want sex."
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have understood any of that.
But, oh, come on.
But as a 4 year old,
asshole.
No pig.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. The Simpsons. Simpsons did it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was getting
But anyway, I mean, yeah, being 4 years old and having seen those commercials, I was just like, this is what the adults are watching?
This is the peak of entertainment!
Exactly, this is the greatest thing on television.
I remember one time in the old house where I did something, I don't know what I did, but I got banished to the corner of the living room, and my mom and dad were watching Married with Children that night. And what I kept on doing was I was always like, peeking my head around, like, "Turn around!" Like, they put me in the room with the show, but I wasn't allowed to look at the show.
It doesn't make any sense because it wasn't really visually raunchy.
It wasn't a visual show.
It was definitely verbally.
Yeah, I know, but they probably, he's not going to get it anyway.
Vulgar.
He's not allowed to watch it, but he's still being punished, so there's not pay attention.
No, I could understand if it was a show like Ren and Stimpy or something where
we were allowed to watch that.
Yeah, the humor was a cartoon, gross out, so it's visual. Fine.
Like any of that stuff.
I remember like grandma getting grossed out by Ren and Stimpy and be like, "Ah, why are your kids watching this?"
And we say, "We're allowed. What are you going to do?"
Yeah, were you grandma?
Yeah, grandma. What
are
you
watch
your
do? Dumb craft show.
Rocco's Modern Life, which was another great program.
Rocco's Modern Life is another one that had a lot of adult humor in it.
Yes.
That we didn't get as children.
Did not get just pew,
we didn't get
right over
our head.
Actually, some of the Nickelodeon censors didn't get it either, because the restaurant that was named Chokey Chicken.
Yeah. Chokey Chicken, yeah.
It existed for 2 years until it became Chewy Chicken.
Somebody figured it out.
Hey, wait a minute!
I think this might be a thing.
Yeah.
This might be a thing. So,
Rocco's Modern Life.
Rocco's Modern Life! We always do the Fred Schneider instead of the original.
Well, the original was totally different.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Anyway.
Want to get into something else?
Anyway,
you want to...
Grandma watched dumb TV. I think that's what the point we were trying to make,
the
right?
point we're trying to make
she watched her programs.
Her stupid craft show.
Any and point.
Her stories.
Program.
And her stories.
General Hospital. We had to leave the room while Grandma watched General Hospital.
That show got pretty saucy.
Yeah.
which means we went down to the basement and played Ghostbusters on the fire pole, which was actually just like a, you know, load supporting beam.
What a great closing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Way to end on a high note.
Yeah. Way to go.
What else did we do at Grandma's house? Remember there was those.
Okay,
we would play war.
We'd play
with
war.
Cards.
Except Grandpap would call it highest card wins for some reason.
Highest card wins.
There was.
You guys want to play highest card wins? You mean war? No, sometimes, highest card
so
wins.
Did you guys listen to music while you were
sometimes
there?
We would go outside and we would throw the ball onto the roof and it would roll back down. And we would try to catch it.
Music, yes. I'm sure music was a big part of your
parents. Oh, you know
life.
What? It wasn't, actually.
Oh, God damn it.
I don't remember listening to any music. The only thing we ever listened to was Grandpa would listen to the Pirates games on the radio.
And sometimes he would sing quietly to himself.
And the songs. So the he probably liked some great American songwriters.
I don't think so.
There.
I don't think so. She was Italian. And my grandfather, I mean, he was Polish, so like, you know, like polkas and stuff like that. But that's not. So I don't have any American songwriters that are writing polkas or anything.
Oh my god.
Okay.
It was. All right, take us home.
Yeah, we're stopping.
Yeah. So anyway,
God.
Official ending in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
God, yes. We have pulled her all enough. We'll see you next time. For John, for Jeff, for Tim, I'm Lawrence saying so long. Bye bye.